From the short tracks to the super speedways, from two wheels to four wheels, it's Revved Up ATX on the Horn with Bobby Chaffee and Rodney Rodriguez. This is where Austin talks racing.
It sure is where Austin talks racing. It is the fastest hour on Austin Radio. It's Revved Up ATX on the Horn. We're live local digital on the Horn app. And always streaming at hornfm.com, thanks to Dave Williams. I do want to give Dave Williams a big shout-out. That is the hardest working man right here in the ARN buildings with everything that he's been doing here the last 24 hours, man. A labor of love or something to keep everything moving right here. So Dave Williams, MVP of our radio organization. As we dive into the racing stuff, Showtime Bobby Chaffee across the way. Behind the glass, it is Ty Henderson, the host of the Lone Star Lowdown. Of course, he also is the podcast. He also is the crew chief, car chief, and everything that is Revved Up ATX. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Revved Up ATX. Bobby across the way on another hot Saturday as racing action gets as hot as the weather.
Well, it's getting there. I mean, it was down in Edna last week. It was on the racetrack, although I was disappointed with the IndyCar race in Nashville. I'm sure we'll get to that, but that was rough to watch. I even turned the channel after a while with so many cautions.
Well, you had to turn the channel because it went somewhere else. I'll dive into that here in just a minute. I'll kind of give you my thoughts on that one. Again, I was pissed off at IndyCar. It's like, I'm not picking on IndyCar. It's just things that happen to IndyCar that really irritate me.
And that's an NBC thing, though. NBC flips over a lot.
Well, it's just, we'll get to it. I want to hit the whole shot. So this week I was reading Vanity Fair. Don't ask why, but we figured out the Lewis Hamilton controversy. Remember, months ago we talked about where Lewis, all the piercings had to come out. Oh, by the way, bottom of the hour, Dr. Jerry Punch. How could I forget to mention that?
I don't know. I was wondering why it took so long.
Yeah, Dr. Jerry Punch is going to join us, and that will be some must hear radio. And of course, we'll podcast it at hornfm.com. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. Lewis Hamilton, take all your piercings out. And he was like, well, there's one that ain't going to come out. Remember, we talked about it. And there were allegations as to where it may be. I think we figured out where we thought it was. The listeners helped out. But I think we were all on the same trajectory, if you want to call it that, with where that additional piercing was. In Vanity Fair, Lewis Hamilton says, I was just with him. I have nothing. But it sure was funny to hear people thinking that my were pierced.
Yes, that my nether regions.
Lewis Hamilton, my man. I love that.
What a way to play with the media, right? Play with everybody's emotions on that. That got everybody. That was a talking point for like 2 weeks with Formula One fans.
Everybody. All worked up about that. What's Lewis going to do? I mean, are they going to make Lewis sit out? I like how he waited, though. I mean, because that has since passed. I mean, that's kind of, it's floated away. But, man, for him to bring that up again, I think that's hilarious. And it's kind of like the Jimmy Johnson thing, where we talk about, you know, with Jimmy's dry humor and everything. Lewis Hamilton, maybe not the most Clint Boyer type of guy, but I think that's funny as hell.
I think it's perfect. Kind of like when Jimmy Johnson hurt his wrist and allegedly had got drunk and fell off the roof of a golf cart. That one, remember that one from a couple of years, 4 or 5 years ago?
The stories of Jimmy Johnson and elevators and all of that stuff. I mean, but that right there, and that's Lewis Hamilton. And the thing about it is, I mean, Lewis is kind of, his program is picking up. I mean, his program
is getting better.
Up. Yeah. As they're on break, man, they're on a long break.
They get a long summertime break, don't they? They don't go back into action until the 26th, two more weeks.
They've got plenty of time to go film Drive to Survive and do whatever they're doing and maybe come flirt around with racing NASCAR stuff and IndyCar and all of that. But yeah, Lewis Hamilton comes out and says there's nothing nowhere else. I was just funning with y'all. And he gets the last laugh. And I just thought that was great.
It's good. I mean, it's a good way to look at it. Good way for that story to finally wrap up.
IndyCar. So this is 2 weeks in a row, or two races in a row. I mean, Scott Dixon is silently about to win him another championship. I think he's 6 points out right now from Willpower as he wins that race at Nashville. But so I was doing fatherly things as I was helping the oldest get to Tarleton State and get settled in and do everything that she needed to do right there. So I set my VCR, I set my DVR.
Same thing. All the older folks know what you meant. The younger folks are like, what's a VCR?
Yeah, absolutely. VHS, man.
Wait, Ty knows. Ty at least knows what a VCR is.
I have a VHS collection.
Nice.
All right, good.
I
have
a Goodwill, and I'll pick up some cool ones.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I have a player, too. It's not plugged into my TV right now, but I have one.
That's right, man. I've got one, still works, and I go back and I'm watching old race films. I mean, because now I've got that Texas collection, thanks to Ray Scott. But yeah. So I set my DVR because I want to see this, and so I found out who won, and I'm like, great, Scott Dixon wins. He's now number two all time. You know, 53 wins, only chasing AJ Foyt now, which I don't think he'll catch him, but you never know. So I get home, I get settled in, I turn it on, and I golf. I mean, no problem. I have no problem with golf, but golf. I guess they went into a playoff or something. Is that what happened?
I think it's a combination. The golf stuff went into the playoffs, and there was a major delay due to weepers and all kind of stuff there at Nashville for some torrential downpours, lightning, stuff like that. The lightning delays is what kills sporting events, outdoor sporting events.
Right.
You got to wait. It used to be you had to wait 15 minutes on some stuff. Now you got to wait 30 minutes, which is killer. And that's from the last strike. So if you get a couple of strikes, you hit one random leftover strike within, what, 10 miles?
Yeah.
I think is what it is. And then boom, there you go. Another 30-minute window.
Yeah, we deal with that in high school, with high school football all the time, you know, where it's like one random lightning strike. And I mean, we're sitting there trying to you know, it's like, what do we talk about? We're just starting the first quarter. You know, you can't recap the game. I mean, you recap two drives and that's it. So anyway, I'm waiting. So it finally starts and I'm like, okay, here we go. Now we're going. And so I wasn't really paying attention to how long the golf was going. And so I guess I watched about 20 laps and they're like, okay, we're going to sign off and we're sending it to Lester Holt or whoever the hell does the NBC Nightly News on the weekend. I'm like, wait a minute, what? We're going to CNBC. I'm like, oh, man. You missed, a majority of people missed another one. NBC, come on, man. What is going on here?
So on the plus side, when it was the golf playoff and there was a delay, if you were watching on CNBC, you never got to switch. But you wouldn't have known to set the DVR. Like the CNBC stuff was the complete show the whole way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I had to turn the channel because there's just too many cautions.
Man.
The iconic start, that was great. Coming over the bridge, it's cool.
Sure.
Looks cool. Does great. Man, that race had a lot of cautions. More than 50% of that race was run under caution.
And Jimmy Johnson took a ride right over the bridge. And then I saw the North Carolina IndyCar driver there, Joseph Newgarden, as I guess Roman Grosjean, or as my daughter says, Roman Grosjean, was a little irritated with him. And he sounded NASCAR. Welcome to IndyCar,
that's
buddy.
Right. Welcome to IndyCar. That's the soundbite we needed right there.
Next time
we talk about IndyCar racing getting a little rough, we'll have his little voice back there. Well, welcome to IndyCar.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we touch just a little bit right here. But now we're on to, we've got an epic battle that's coming up. So I guess where they're going to, WWT, they're going to Worldwide Technology next, which is next week, I believe. So now you've got, it's funny how it all shakes out. And here you've got Will Power and Scott Dixon. They're 6 points apart up at the top of the heap right here. To have it to come down to these two guys, I'm like, okay, all is well in the IndyCar world, despite all of the other debacles with TV coverage and poor Double R can't never watch any of these races. It can't never. Is that a double whatever?
It's double negative.
Double negative. Well, I'm being
YouTube has
negative.
A lot. YouTube has a lot of good highlights for it, though.
Yeah, they do. But so you got Will Power and Scott Dixon. This could get to be a heck of a lot of fun.
It could be. And Dixon came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you left the Indianapolis 500, he was like fifth or sixth in points, way down there. And then you come up, and then you've got everybody having problems in front of him. At one point, Newgarden was going to be the point leader coming out of Nashville. He had his issues, had to pit late. So the possibilities of a good dash to the championship for IndyCar is picking up really, really good.
And at one point, Newgarden, you remember Newgarden was rolling. I mean, Newgarden, a couple of race wins in a row. I mean, he started out, he won at Texas, and then he was just steamrolling through this thing. But the field has caught up to him, and I think the Alex Palou, a little bit of the shenanigans that's going on right there, that's helped to kind of pull him back a little bit. Pato, I mean, you've got guys that are coming. But it's getting interesting. Yeah, about 6 points back, Marcus Ericsson. He is only 4 points back at Dixon. So it's going to get good.
Erickson's not out of it, but the tracks don't suit his driving style, the ones that are left over.
That's exactly right.
Or left
right.
to go, rather.
That's exactly right. Point battles, you've got the 15th different winner in NASCAR as, man, Kevin Harvick, talk about coming back. I mean, just great strategy right there with 63 to go or whatever it was where he comes out. And then it is a situation right there where Joey Logano, I don't think that Bubba Wallace is going to be sending him a Christmas card right there because it was Logano. But, I mean, this is the way Logano races. I mean, I don't know why people get irritated at a situation like that. I mean, he's not going to sit. He is not going to sit. You can say whatever you want to say about Joey Logano, but that dude races his tail off.
I mean, he definitely doesn't sit on his hands, right? He doesn't wait to get revenge. He gets right on it. As soon as he gets back to you, he's right there. I mean, the William Byron at Darlington is the same way. You know, Byron put him in the fence on a restart. Not hard, but, you know, ran him up the track, put him in the fence. Four laps later, here comes Logano. Yep. Boom, back up in the fence to Byron and goes on to win that race. So, it, you know, Michigan, it was an okay race. I wouldn't call it a great race. The best thing I can say about Michigan is congratulations on the camping sellout.
That place was packed.
Need to congratulate those fans for packing them grandstands, too.
Yeah. So now you're the 15th winner, and Harvick will be in. He's sitting in a very good point spot, regardless of whatever's going to happen. But the interesting one to watch right now is Ryan Blaney. Second in the overall standings, but he has not won. We think he won the All-Star race. We still think that, right?
The check is cash by now.
That's right. Great point. But so he's the one where he could very well miss this. I mean, we got three races, including now with Richmond coming up tomorrow. But it's a scenario to where that Kurt Busch, who will miss this race once again with Ty Gibbs, man, top ten. What do you think Kyle Busch is thinking now?
Well, I don't know. He's thinking Ford. I think he's thinking Blue Oval right now.
He's thinking, I like the number 41 and I like the number 10. I think I would look good in either one of those numbers is what he's thinking.
Yeah, the Toyota guy didn't sound very enthusiastic. David Wilson, the president of TRD, NASCAR stuff, did not sound really optimistic when he was talking to Claire B. Lang a couple of nights ago on Sirius XM.
Didn't they say that a Chevrolet team is now involved? You've got Ford already involved and Toyota's kind of like, okay, figure out what you need to figure out.
I mean, the key is going to be the Truck Series team.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do with that? Like, what? That's an added expense for a manufacturer to take over and help them rebody those entire truck fleet he's got. That's the problem I think that Ford has. You know, GM already has a relationship with a couple of different truck teams with some factory support. So I think that leans just a tick more towards going to a Chevrolet. But anywhere he goes, he's going to evaluate. He's going to elevate that program and make it better.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, that's something to watch. But now we go to Richmond, and it's an unheard of scenario where you do have this many winners, where you've got 15, and again, 16 go to the playoffs, and it could be a situation to where, and this is where I think it's going to be really, I don't really see Kurt Busch falling out of the top 30. I mean, I don't know. Here's where I'm going to be real curious with Kurt. Is we've got, what do we have? We got Richmond, then we got the Glen, and then Daytona.
Daytona, three left.
Right, and for to come back after all of this, because like he said, he went and got in a simulator, and he himself realized, I don't need to be doing this yet. So, man, would you want to come back at Daytona?
Crazy as that place is. That race is going to be, that's going to be the most highly anticipated Daytona race, non-Daytona 500 in a very, very, very long time, probably since the first time they moved the summer race to a night race.
And I keep hearing the debate because it's three races left. Can we get two more winners? I mean, because you have to look at the guys. I didn't realize Chase Elliott's won four races. Man, I don't. It doesn't. It's been a very quiet four race wins for him.
Yeah, he won a couple of them very quietly, not very. But that's the way Chase Elliott wins races now. It's not very spectacular the way that he's able to win. You know, obviously he got the bonus win there at Pocono when the disqualifications happened, but that.
That's the one I'm
missing.
That's
the one that you're missing.
That's the one I'm missing.
That's the very, very quiet one. But it's not. I mean, it's not impossible to get 16 winners. NASCAR, other than this issue with the concussion and Kurt Busch, NASCAR has gotten everything they wanted out of this new car. everything and more.
They absolutely have. They absolutely have. And, I mean, when you look at it now, I mean, you got Truex on the outside looking for right now.
Who can win tomorrow easily.
Absolutely. And I think Blaney can win there tomorrow. And I think for Ryan Blaney, this is going to be a really good test for him to where we see as he continues to develop. I mean, he's still a very young race car driver. As we're going to watch him develop now because we are watching him, this is a lot of stress that he is dealing with right now. And he was... After the fifth place run, he was totally beat down. I mean, this is, you would think that after a fifth place run, man, great. I love it. But I'll tell you who needs to, Bubba Wallace needs to, if I were on Bubba Wallace's team and I heard all of that, I'd be like, dude, are you quitting?
Yeah. And he got a contract extension after all that.
That's right. He did, didn't he? Multi-year contract. Jeez, Louis. But it's like, dude, pep it up a little bit. Come on, man.
He's such a negative Nancy sometimes, isn't he?
Right. And I mean, I know it's emotional. And I mean, I know. But you can't put all your eggs in one basket. I mean, and that's where this whole thing could backfire. Let's say he goes out and wins Michigan and we get two more winners. And hell, he still gets left out.
He could. So,
but they are on a tremendous roll.
The team has actually cleaned up a lot of stuff. They've done very well. They've cleaned up the pit stops. And most importantly, they've actually had some decent luck, right?
Sometimes luck
is your own making, but a lot of that was just bad placing, wrong place, wrong time stuff for Bubba Wallace. Now that that's starting to change for him, they picked up some of the other stuff they need to pick up. That team's doing well with Ty Gibbs having a top 10, Bubba Wallace second. 2311's kicking on all cylinders. Now if they can just find $25 million for a third charter for next year, they'll be okay. A
little bit of inflation right there. Did you see that?
Yeah, a little bit.
From 13.3 to 25.
Yeah.
That's a lot of change. That is a lot of change. Don't tell me that money does not drive this sport. That's NASCAR and IndyCar. Coming up, the great Dr. Jerry Punch, and we will certainly hone in. Concussions, top of mind right now with everything that's going on. We will dig into that, and we'll talk about just some of the greatness that is the one and only Dr. Jerry Punch. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. It's 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Oh, yeah. Good stuff right there. Who we got there, Ty? Who is that?
Charlie Daniels.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Works.
CDB. Good stuff. Hey, that first segment talking about our IndyCar frustrations with where do we find it? Where'd it go? In a little bit of NASCAR is now we have 15 different winners there as we get ready to head to Richmond rolling towards the playoffs. But right now we're going to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, and this is very exciting for Bobby and I because now we add, once again, to our Revved Up Hall of Fame with just some of the guests that we have been privileged to talk to, and this is another one right here. Matter of fact, heard him going out the door as they had the 98 Busch race on FS1 was playing as I was going out the door, but on that Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, you've heard him on ESPN and ABC's NASCAR, IndyCar coverage, college football, college basketball. This is the man indeed, Dr. Jerry Punch. Doc, how we doing, sir?
I am doing great, guys. It's nice to be with you this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time, sir. We appreciate it very much. Doc, we were talking in the first segment, obviously with the Kurt Busch concussion situation, and of course Dale Jr. Really bringing that to the forefront several years back. Talk about that, because concussion, people hear concussion, a bruise on the brain, but it's a heck of a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've spent, we, the medical community, the NFL, the Department of Defense, the government, we spent so much money trying to understand, number one, how to diagnose it quickly, how to treat it quickly, can you commonize a treatment, can you make the treatment common across different people, and when the answer to that is really no, can you specifically find a way to delineate what part of the brain is involved, so you know where to focus the rehabilitation. There have been different studies on that, but long story short, concussion is very, very complicated because the brain, there's not a lot of really good markers to let us know if it's healing. A lot of it is very subjective and symptomatic. A fracture will heal in 6 weeks, a laceration, you suture, you're talking about 7 to 10 days, but you know, concussions could be anywhere from 2 weeks to a couple of years.
Wow.
If that. And the more you had, the more cumulative effect, and the older you are, and the blood supply, et cetera, on and on. As Dale Earnhardt Jr. found out, even at a young age, he showed the courage and led the way of saying, okay, I'm not right. I have all these symptoms. I have headaches. I have balance issues. I have vision issues. I have all these things going on. And there's no way I can climb in a car. I'm having trouble walking.
Mm-hmm.
And so he stayed out of the car, and he had the support of Rick Hendrick, had the support of the NASCAR community, and some really good medical doctors at Pittsburgh to help him recover.
Doc, it did crazy. Sometimes we get a little bit of grief when we talk about race car drivers, especially at the Cup level and the top three series, being athletes. And in terms of their endurance and stuff like that, with Jimmy Johnson going out and biking 25 miles on a race morning and stuff like that, it is really, they get a lot of underappreciation for just how physically fit a lot of these race car drivers really are nowadays.
You really do. I mean, it's 135 degrees on a decent day in that car for 3 hours. The heat off the floorboard. You're in a three-layer Nomex suit with a pair of insulated underwear under that, a helmet, gloves. They're because they want to keep the aerodynamics of the car under control. They don't have much air in the car. They do have some vents in the helmet, but that isn't cool air. So you're sitting in that trying to compete, and you have to physically handle the steering wheel, move the pedals, function, think. It's a lot of effort. For people don't have any understanding how hard these guys work to get in shape and stay in shape. A few years ago, I was doing NASCAR on the weekend and doing college football on Thursday night primetime. I took an infrared gun, sensor gun, and we had permission from the coaches. And we had a defensive lineman come off the field after a defensive series, and he'd been on this, for three plays, and a punt came off. And I took that infrared gun and I shot it inside his shoulder pads. Pulled the shoulder pads down and shot inside the shoulder pads, and it was like 118 degrees. And he said, it's the hottest. And it was actually in Mississippi that night. It was It was a game in Mississippi in August, and it was stifling out, but it's 118 degrees. That's still 20 degrees cooler than inside that race car where the drivers are. And this guy had been out there for a minute and a half, 2 minutes on the field, playing defense. So, yeah, it's a different kind of conditioning, mentally, physically, to be able to be in a race car and function for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. Doc, so you talk about a lot of the medical advances right there that we've watched. I mean, in your time that you've been involved, obviously with the medical field and with motorsports, these advances to where, you talked about it, where you have to be cleared. I mean, you can't just be thrown back in the car. I mean, we've watched accidents where you see stuff happen and it's like, well, that didn't look that bad. But now with all the protocols that the organizations have in place, man, that is just such a great step in the right direction for the well-being of these athletes.
It really is, because what we do know about concussions is if you get one, you're much more prone to get another one in a short amount of time with a minimal blow. And you don't even have to hit your head. It's just a sudden stop or change of direction. And a car can be spinning and be hit by another car, and you spin in another direction and without hitting anything, really, and that can produce a concussion. Wide receivers can get a concussion without ever hitting their head. If they get hit in the stomach on a tackle downfield and their upper torso and head and neck move forward and back, that allows the brain inside the skull to move forward and back. It's called coup contre coup. It bounces off the front of the skull and the back of the skull. That can add to the bruising, and that's a concussion without ever even hitting your head or hitting helmet. So, and the key is you have to have time to heal. And there are long-term sequelae to concussions. And the other thing is that most athletes have no idea how many they've had. If you're a professional athlete in the NFL, or if you're a professional race car driver, you may have had some in the short tracks. You may have had some. Dale Earnhardt Jr., for example, and I know he had a couple in the earlier lower ranks in the Busch Series. I think he had one at Texas. Maybe he had one at Las Vegas. So these add up, and it's harder and harder to heal. And the other thing is long term, if you want to be able to function when you're 40 or 45 or 50 years old and know your kids' names and be able to get on a boat and drive a boat with your family without getting seasick or having issues, being able to sleep at night, not having depression, not having insomnia, all kinds of things that relate to long term symptoms that can continue post-concussive.
Wow.
Wow, that's crazy. Doc, in terms of the advances in the medical stuff with the NASCAR stuff and all that, the advances in safety over the years, this next-gen car, obviously it's getting a little heat because of the Kurt Busch stuff. But overall, I think this is probably one of the most advanced race cars. People were talking about going back to stock cars and stuff like that. While it is resembling stock cars for the first time in a long time, this is probably one of the safest machines NASCAR's ever produced.
Well, it is. I mean, I think we had an obviously a huge reaction after we lost Dale Earnhardt in 2001. Then we got the COT, the Car of Tomorrow, which was a big box that had crush zones and energy absorbing zones and seats that were absorb energy and flex with the driver, and we moved the driver, and we had door panels and foam in the door and the Hans device and full face helmets and all these things we tried to do to absorb the energy. Because, you know, in the early years of NASCAR in the 90s, we thought if you build cars really rigid and strong so that they hit something, they don't flex and they don't bend, that was safe. Well, then all the energy had to go somewhere. It went to the driver. It went to the individual. And when they hit, the great vessels inside the body have nowhere to go, so they explode, and people die instantly. That's what happens on highways. That's what happens in other deceleration engines. It's not how fast you go, it's how fast you stop. So then we learned IndyCar, learned long before stock cars did, that you had to have energy absorption, so the side pods would shear away in an IndyCar when it hits. It looks horrific, but it's actually absorbing energy to some extent. And then we learned after Dale Earnhardt that we have to be able to absorb energy in the front and rear of the car and do some things so all the energy doesn't go to the driver, and we can protect the integrity of the head and neck. So the Hans device, yeah. And the way this car is built, there are some things I'm sure they're going to modify moving forward to be able to make sure that, you know, that the greenhouse in this car, the where the driver sits, is as safe as it can be. To be able to protect the drivers, because, you know, in NASCAR, as we've known for decades, in NASCAR, it isn't about the cities. It's about the individuals who are the franchises. The franchises over the years were the Earnhardts and the Petties and the Yarboroughs and the Allisons and, you know, and the Wallaces and the Jarretts and, yep. And now the Harvicks and those kind of guys and the Elliotts. So you've got to be able to protect those people. Those are what makes the sport go.
That's exactly right. That is a great point. That is a great point. Dr. Jerry Punch with us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Of course, you can also catch him on the Rolling with the Punches podcast, another creation there. Doc, I mentioned there that 98 Richmond race was on. Let's talk about, we had the fortune during the pandemic, ironically, to talk to Bob Jenkins on these airwaves, and that was just great conversation. Let's go back to those days with you all there with ESPN and Motorsports. I really think that those were the glory days, the golden days of race car broadcasting. What a team that you guys had there, and really the innovators in motorsports broadcasting, in my opinion.
Well, you're very kind, and you mentioned Bob Jenkins. He would not have found a better person away from the microphone, away from the racetrack, because he just, you know, like all of us, like Ned Jarrett and Benny Parsons and myself, and you know Ray Dunlap, Bill Weber, all the people are on that telecast that day. Kyle Petty was on the telecast with me that day, you know, as well as Benny. You know, we just cared about racing. We were one big family. We couldn't wait to get up. We stayed at the same hotel. We couldn't wait to get up in the morning, go to breakfast quickly, be at the track when the garage opened, and start talking to people. Mm-hmm. So we talked to drivers. We talked to car owners. We talked to sponsors. We'd go call a race, and then we'd go to dinner together. We'd sit and laugh and giggle and tell stories. And, you know, we spent more time with each other than we did our own families. So we were one big family. I hear that a lot of the times today the television broadcasters don't spend much time together, that these two go here and this one goes there and this one stays in the hotel room. And, you know, we tried to go to dinner together as a group and tell stories and visit and exchange what we'd heard about. So if that race that was on earlier today, you know, on Fox, the 98 race from Richmond, that was – you know, you hear us talking about sponsors. You hear us talking about, we talked about everybody in that field.
Yep.
Guys running 28th, guys running 29th, two laps down. Sponsors, former Rookie of the Year, former series champion running ninth. Here's Jeff Burton. Here's Dale Earnhardt Jr. You know, we did Benny Parsons, the play-by-play guy, me in that race. I try to just set the stage and then let Benny talk and let Kyle Petty talk, as much as we could. And then we, we just had a family and that loved each other and loved the sport. And Bob Jenkins was one of the best because Bob didn't need to be a star. Bob didn't have to be about Bob. It wasn't about us. It was about the drivers and the car owners and the teams. And unfortunately, in today's television, you know, not everybody, but a lot of times it is about some of the networks try to make it about the announcers, and it isn't about the announcers. It's about the athletes. I hear that more and more from drivers to come up and say, hey, when you guys did it, you know, you cared. It was about, if you had a break, we had a caution flag or a rain delay or a red flag, you came and talked to the crew chiefs. You came and talked to the car owners. You sat drivers down and did a round table, and people love that. Heck, our ratings would go up during red flags. But we'd sit Bill Allen, Rusty Wallace down in the garage on bucket. They'd sit on buckets, and I'd sit with them, and we'd start telling stories.
Yeah.
People love that. Yeah. But that's not what happens today, unfortunately. Mm.
Well, Doc, the only plus I see, though, is that with today's coverage of NASCAR, it feels like with this next TV package that's going to come up due here in, I think it's 2024, with the ratings going up and the attendance going up and just the overall national appeal for NASCAR since coming back from the pandemic, NASCAR itself, from the sanctioning body standpoint, is actually seeming to be in a really good spot when it comes to this next round of TV coverage and stuff coming up. It seems like they're going to have a really good package that's going to eventually trickle all the way down and help out these race teams.
I hope so. I really do. I think, you know, I really like what I'm seeing. Jim France came back in and took over the sport. Bill France Jr. is a younger brother, and I've known Jim for 35 years, it's really been interesting that they're thinking outside the box. They're really getting back to basics in terms of race fans, caring about the race fan as opposed to trying to go draw fans that normally go to Flushing Meadow or somewhere else to attract. They're going back to race fans and trying to build the sport and build the stories. You know, I think that, you know, attendance is back, coming back, ratings are coming back up, interest is there. The question is, you know, during the pandemic, it was the television money that kept a lot of these places open.
Yeah.
Are you going to get that kind of money? Can the networks afford that? Or is it going to be I think it'll be a combination of in-house production for NASCAR and then the networks covering the races. So the in-house production may be sort of like what we did years ago, where we did every practice session and qualifying session. And I think the good part about that is if you do that, then you get people who spend time in the garage area and can talk about sponsors, because those sponsors need to hear their names. They need to be able to see their name on the side of that car. That's how you build a sport from the ground up. You can't just cover the top 7 or 8 or 10. You've got to cover everybody if you can. And I think that if you do that combination of streaming with in-house coverage by NASCAR Productions or whatever, and then go to the networks for the big events, you'll have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, that's right. Lastly, Doc, let me get your thoughts on modern-day IndyCar, because we've got, obviously, with the boom of NASCAR and with it coming back around to us, it looks like, now with Formula One becoming so popular in the States, adding a second race now, so with all of that happening, IndyCar just, it kind of sits there, and it seems like it hits little speed bumps. But with the driver roster that they have and so forth, I'm really excited about what we're seeing with the NTT IndyCar series.
I am too. You know, I was in Nashville last weekend for the race on the streets of Nashville. Big crowd, very tight. You know, typical street course, very tight, lots of lefts and rights. But they ran across a bridge at 180 miles an hour.
Wow.
I mean, you're running across a huge bridge over the Cumberland River at 180 miles an hour. And what can go wrong there, huh? they had. I mean, you look at, you know, on street courses like that where it's tight, you expect experience. You see the Scott Dixons and the Joseph Newgardens and the guys like that, and Will Powers that have won the street races this year, because their street races require precision and patience, and that's experience. Whereas you got someone like Colton Herta, who has all the talent in the world, but can't. I mean, he'll charge, but you've got to be able to let the race come to him a little bit. And then the word is, you know, does Colton stay put? You know, he had that test with McLaren in Formula One, and they said he was really, really fast. But if you can't be patient in an IndyCar, how patient can you be in a Formula One car that's really twitchy? And then, by the way, Formula One's a lot more expensive. I mean, he doesn't have to worry about paying for it, but if they wanted to put a team over there, Mercedes said it cost you $1 billion with a B to run a team in Formula One now. IndyCar is still, I think IndyCar, as young drivers come along, we saw some young Americans running. last week at Nashville. I'm glad to see Newgarden is back after the concussion at Iowa. So I think that, you know, for the money, for what teams have to spend, IndyCar probably is the biggest bargain in motorsports compared to, you probably spend half or a third of what you spend in a NASCAR Cup Series car, and that's probably a 20th of what a Formula One car costs to run. So, Formula One getting bigger in the U.S. because of the new ownership bringing races here, Miami, Circuit of the Americas. What a fabulous facility there in Austin.
Yeah.
My gosh. I mean, so, you know, how can you not love Formula One? And there's the romance part of Formula One that we see on Netflix, on the show. So that's helped a lot.
Yeah, sure has. It sure has. Hey, Doc, one last question. So how cool to see Jesse following in your footsteps? That's got to be pretty cool for you.
you are so kind. You are so kind. I'll put it this way. It was 1992, and I stood in the broadcast booth at Homestead Miami Speedway, and I asked my buddy Dale Earnhardt Sr. to come up and just be on the telecast with me for a few minutes, because that was a day that his son was going to probably win his first ever Busch Series and NASCAR championship. And we were coming on the air and the music's playing, and he realizes that when Dale Jr. cranks that engine up, he becomes a NASCAR champion. I look over to Dale Sr., the Intimidator, and he's got water in his eyes.
Oh.
He couldn't contain his emotions. We weren't on the air yet, so no one saw that. But you could tell that his heart was just bursting with pride and as a father. And that's the way I feel when I see Jesse go on the air with NASCAR or, you know, do the show she does, doing her own show internationally, and then now doing the tracks every week. And I'm hoping that she gets an opportunity to be a part of the NASCAR full-time television coverage. She has the passion. She shares my passion with the sport, loves the sport, loves being a part, understands that it's about the drivers and the dignity of NASCAR and not about her, which I admire even more, and is willing to sit in that room at night and do homework for hours as opposed to being out having a nice dinner. So she gets it, that it is about the work ethic that makes a difference. So I'm just so very proud.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can tell. I can tell it right there in your voice. It is so cool to see that. Doc, thanks so much for taking the time and jumping on with us. It has been an honor to have you with us on Revved Up ATX. Thank you for all the great insight, and most importantly, thank you for all the great memories. It's been so cool to just follow you.
Well, you thank you for the kind words, and thank you for allowing me to be on this this outstanding show you guys have. I appreciate it so much.
Absolutely. Take care, sir. We'll talk soon.
Take care.
You bet. There he is, Dr. Jerry Punch, one of the greats. He's on the Mount Rushmore, man. He really
absolutely
is.
Absolutely, yeah.
He really is. We'll have that podcasted for you at hornfm.com. Coming up, Pit Stop News and Notes and Places for Races as we carry you into your race weekend. It's Revved Up ATX on the Horn. Revved Up ATX on the Horn, and the Revved Up ATX Hall of Fame grows. New member inducted 2 minutes ago with Dr. Jerry Punch. Man, I love how he was talking about with the ESPN. Not only as he was explaining concussions, my head hurt.
Yeah.
I got blurred vision when he talked about blurred vision. I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, I've had some really good
wrecks.
I've had one or two concussions.
Oh, fell off a bicycle one time when I was younger. So,
and I think what's so incredible about what he's saying is where he's talking about, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a blow to the head, where the brain moves around inside of the skull and it bounces off the front or the back or the sides, and it's that sudden stop. It's that sudden stop, and that's really when you start thinking about that part, that's scary. That's scary.
That's crazy. Like we were telling Ty, though, with Dr. Jerry Punch, the voice of a generation.
Oh, absolutely.
By far. We're definitely during, as you said, the golden age of media coverage there with NASCAR, with that ESPN stuff, the 80s through the early to late 90s.
Yeah. So Ty, speaking of that, so now that you are a member of the Revved Up Pit Bosses, Are some of these names, like when we're talking about Kurt Busch and Christopher Bell, and are some of those starting to, you're like, oh yeah, I think I know who that is.
Yeah. No. I haven't paid the closest attention to the racing world, but the past few months have definitely opened my eyes to some names that I've definitely heard throughout my life.
Got him hooked right there.
That's what it did. Just take just a little carrot. That's all it takes.
I'm in the fantasy league now. I'm about to submit my picks here in a minute.
Oh, yeah. Nice. There it is. You can do that too. Revved Up Pit Bosses. Check it out at NASCAR.com. We'll really push into it next year a little harder. It was a lot to put together this year. So anyway, coming out of the pandemic and such. Pit stop news and notes. Noah Gregson, and we called it, you know, something else we talked about months ago at HornFM.com, the podcast. His shenanigans. Does that hurt him to get into NASCAR? No. Absolutely electrifying. He does the unheard of. He comes in. He's not bringing any money.
Not yet. He may have that Black Rifle Coffee Company because they already sponsored that 42 car already. Yeah. So I see Black Rifle Coffee Company putting some funds behind him, but they didn't announce a major full-time sponsor with him.
And I really like what Petty GMS is doing right here because they've got two really good drivers. I mean, between Eric and Noah, I mean, I really think that that's something that program is constantly improving. Well, the 42 hasn't really, but I don't know exactly. It's all about getting the combinations right because that's really what they've done with Eric Jones to where they've got him in line. They've got his 43 team working cohesively well together, and I think they'll do that with the 42. I like this pairing.
Actually, I think Noah Gregson's old crew chief, Dave Ellens, mm-hmm. is crew chief on the 43.
That's right. That is right. I heard that.
Yeah. So that's another connection there. So I think it's a good landing spot for Noah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. He'll be in the 42 for Petty GMS. Also, who you've heard on this show, Rob Ramage, who was the GM over at Texas Motor Speedway. He has been promoted within Speedway Motorsports right there, and it'll be Mark Faber. I hope I'm saying that one right. He'll be the new GM, former senior vice president of global partnerships at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas.
That's a great place, too.
TMS desperately needs something like that.
They need a spark to light that fire again with the fan base, and I think that's the right hire to do it.
They do, and I mean the challenges with them is that everybody is so Debbie Download on the racing there. So I mean you've got to fix that, but I really think that when you bring in somebody like this, it's going to be the GM. I mean, no offense to Rob. I mean, good dude. I mean, Rob.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah, we talked about drinking whiskey with him, but this dude seems like somebody that's going to go out. I mean, to sell the T-Mobile partnership right there in Vegas. I mean, that tells you what he's capable of.
Yeah, that's what TMS needs. They need the injection. They need the fire. Not that Rob did a bad job or did anything wrong, but I think they found the right fit with that because it was something that's needed. Now they just kind of reconfigure that place to be all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Get the competition better. Knoxville Nationals happening. They're under the brand new LED lighting over there at Knoxville. So that'll be cool. What's that? Rico Abreu wins last night. His third hard Knox. He'll start 21st. That'll be a star-studded field. Is Larson going to be able to get back? Because the last cup practice is late.
It's late. Qualifying is super late tonight. So.
Yeah, absolutely. There it is. Pit stop news and notes. Also, we talked about Bubba Wallace. Kimi Raikkonen preparing as he was in a stock car this week.
Yeah, over at VIR, getting ready for Watkins Glen and Justin Marks and Trackhouse's number, Project 91. That's going to be a fun ride next year.
There you go. First one will be Kimi as he will jump in coming up next week. Places for races, my friend.
Not a whole lot this week. Obviously, a lot of people are off. You got the Xfinity Series on, or no, the Xfinity Series is off. They go racing again next week at the Glen. As far as today, tonight's going to end up being the truck race from Richmond, 7 p.m. FS1. Got our local races going on. Cotton Bowl Speedway Summer Shootout Race number 2 tonight, kicking off around 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, you've got the Cup race from Richmond. They're 2 p.m. on USA, NHRA Finals, 2 p.m. on FS1. Like we said, F1's on their summer break. Don't come back to the 26th. IndyCar comes back next week at Gateway. So not a lot on today, but always good stuff. The action should be pretty good there at Richmond.
Hey, and also right here, if you're in Austin this weekend, you can head out to the Mood. You can head out to the Moody Center. Great place. Actually, I've been there a couple of times, and it really
Monster
is.
Trucks are there today.
Fancy. Yeah, the Hot Wheels Monster Trucks. A show at 12:30 coming up really quick. And then 7:30, you'll have a matinee tomorrow at 2:30. over at the Mood as they're going to dirty it up a little bit.
It'd be fun. Monster Trucks are going to dirty up the floor a little bit, making waves, though. That new Moody Center, they're packing in the people for all the events they got over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, also tonight, North Wilkesboro will be racing once again as they are diving back in. Remember, it's asphalt for a month, then they're going to dig that stuff up and they'll race dirt. You've got over 30 super late models that are entered for this super late model race tonight. 75-lap main event, I think, is what we'll see. Some of the best stars in super late model racing from across the country will converge there at Wilkes, and I foresee that one to be a pretty good one.
That one should be decent tonight. The race and the preliminary stuff last night wasn't all that great, but they were just short heat races, so there'll be the top two is going to be involved in a redraw. And so when they set the lineup, that should be, as you said, some of the heavy hitters, top guys within the world of super late model racing will be there. You can catch all the racing action on Racing America.
Absolutely. So that will be the story to follow at Richmond tomorrow. Do we get another winner?
I hope so.
I think so. Man, I want this thing to be shook up so much.
I want there to be 16 going into Daytona.
I want mayhem, man. I want it to just be so, like I talk about the Yahtzee thing, man. That's what I want. That's what I want. So hopefully another winner. But it's a lot of guys that have to lose because it's a who's who. Don't forget, friends, tonight, preseason football right here on the Horn. 7 o'clock, your pregame. 8 o'clock, Cowboys taking on the Broncos, speaking of Lewis Hamilton.
That's right. Partial owner now in the Broncos.
Right. Partial owner without that additional piercing. We are back next Saturday. It is hashtag Real Race Talk, revved up ATX on the Horn, live, local, digital. Always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Stick around for TC Speaks at high noon.